And so I jumped to this morning to going to Isaiah because I thought, well, let's do that exercise this morning. Let's see the connection to Jesus from the book of Isaiah, written some 700 or so years beforehand. In the video, we've seen that Isaiah 53 was a really big catalyst for some of these people understanding Jesus in all of his significance, making a connection that was so important that they actually needed to change their lives. I mean, it's that important. And I thought that was really, really important for us to see. So I'd like us to make the connections in our passage this morning. What I'm going to do is, instead of me rattling them off, what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump back on Zoom again, and hopefully this works, share the whiteboard, and I'm going to ask you to look at that passage and to shout out some things about what things in that passage point us to Jesus. Let me get a stool here. Let me get this thing working here. Share screen, whiteboard. Here we go. It's up. And then let me drag this thing down here. Text. Jesus in Isaiah 53. And then let me get another one and put it here. All right. Anybody got something from that passage that points that as soon as you read that, you say, that's Jesus. That's something that happened with Jesus. Who's got something for me?
By his stripes we were healed.
By his stripes we are healed. Jesus whipped. That's right.
Verse 2 talks about no beauty or majesty. He was just a normal person.
Yep, he was a normal person. Yep. What else?
Despised.
Yeah, in all the stories you hear about Jesus at in a trial and at the cross, he was despised by people, totally thrown out and convicted. Yes, Michael. Yep. Yep. That's really the central part of that passage, that the problem of sin is laid on him. And that's the really big thing. That's the reason why it's so important to connect this passage to Jesus, because of that really central truth. What else have people got in there? Anything else? Yep. He was silent at his trials. Trials, plural. Yep. What else?
Pierced for our transgressions.
Pierced. So they put a spear into the side of Jesus, didn't they? They nailed nails into his feet and into his hands. And these folk that we saw in these videos, they're reading this Isaiah and saying, these are things that point us to Jesus. Anything else? Yes, that's right. Exactly right. Grace. Oh, no. I know why. The C is close to the V. Yep.
The new one I found. In verse 10, the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. He will see his offspring from all his days. I assume that I'm not reading into that much, and that's talking about the resurrection.
Yes, yes. So... prolong his days, yes. Oops. So you have, you have amazing detail coming through in this thing. 700 years before Jesus was alive, you have these things coming through which are just incredible for these Jews to have I've seen, and I'm hoping that that reinforces just how amazing a connection we have here. Any other things?
He shall see his offspring.
He will see his offering?
He will see his offspring.
Yep.
And
yep.
In the New Testament, it talks about him enduring the cross because he sees us coming to God through him.
Yeah. That speaks of, when I hear you say that, that speaks of great love, that he cares, that he did it for us, which is a remarkable thing. All right, I'm going to, sorry? Oh, yeah, go on. Yeah.
After he would suffer, he would see the light of life,
He will see the light of life and be satisfied. That's right. Yeah, so Jesus coming back to life. That's right. Fantastic. Oh, very good. All right. So is that, that's it, that is visible. That's good. I wasn't sure how visible that would be up on that screen. All right, let me jump out of that and come back up here again and finish off up here with looking at that. One of the things that's opened my eyes to this passage this week that I haven't really noticed before is someone had explained that in Isaiah 52:13, which is in the first verse that we read, you'll see that it says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." And someone shared with me that that language is very particular language, raised and lifted up. I'm going to share with you another part of Isaiah where you hear that language used. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, you read these words where Isaiah the prophet has a vision about God. And he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And it was pointed out to me that that language is being, that's used of God is all around Jesus in this passage as well. He'll be high and lifted up, saying something magnificent about who this suffering servant is in Isaiah, and it's using the descriptive language of the Lord in connection with Jesus, which is remarkable. God is the suffering servant who suffers and dies for his people out of great love for them. And so you're hearing something about the great character of God, who is wonderful, who cares. And all the scholars will tell you that verses 4 to 6 are at the center of this passage. That's the part where you hear about the iniquity of us all laid on Jesus. We've all, like sheep, gone astray. We've all got that problem of sin. But the Lord's laid on him. All of our sin, our problems, got transferred to him as he died on the cross. The punishment for sin was death, and he took it on himself. And in its place, we are clean. The Bible says that we're washed as white as snow, and it's the most wonderful thing. Summary of that can all be said with words from the book of Romans. And I'm going to see if any of you know this, and I'm sure that there are a couple of you that can fill in the blanks for this verse. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's what we remember on Good Friday. Jesus went to the cross to die for us. He did it long before we ever came anywhere near him. He demonstrates his great love for us in this. Tremendous things. All right, folks, I'm going to pray. Let me pray and thank God for what a spectacular and wonderful God he is. Let me do that right now as I get my service guide again. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are such a wonderful and great God, and that you loved us so much that you went to the cross for us. Thank you that the Bible says that anyone who believes in you can be part of your family and have that separation removed that sin brings in our life. We have this terrible smudge, this terrible smear that separates us from God. But God's gift to us is his son's death in our place. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And thank you that whoever believes in him will not truly die, but have everlasting life forever in your special place with you. That's the promise that you've made and that Jesus has brought to us as a reality. Pray for any that don't know you yet, that you would speak into their hearts and minds today, help them to see what great love was shown at the cross, and that it's not something in the distance, and that it's also not a myth, because Jesus is a real person, and that Jesus really did rise and was seen by more than 500 people at one single time. Thank you that there is a good evidence chain, good links to show us that this is a reality and a truth. And I pray that that truth and that reality in our hearts would fill us with joy, fill your people with joy as they leave this place this morning. I pray it in your name. Amen.